There you are. Welcome to another edition of It's Your Call. It'syourcall.ca is the website. 613-604-6464 is the number where you can make that call or text. We're also on Facebook. We're also on twitch.tv/BTRradio, and we are on YouTube, etc. And yes, it's always your call. I'm not looking for anybody to be right or more right. I'm not looking for anybody to be wrong here. I just want to get into conversations from all points of view. Maybe find some middle ground on some of the big issues of the day. Show, by the way, brought to you by McCarthy Automotive. 1150 Heron Road, auto service, maintenance, fleet vehicle specialists, family owned and operated, and putting the good under your hood. They're at 1150 Heron Road, McCarthyAutomotive.ca. By the way, not another storm coming our way. It's not too late for winter tires. McCarthy Automotive has lots of major brands in stock. They even offer winter tire storage and all-season storage. Tire storage. There you go. One less thing taking up space in your garage. Alrighty. Let's get to it. Let me ask you this question. What the hell happened? Seriously, in the span of one generation, what the hell happened? When I was 13, or 14, or 15, or 16, hell, when I was 24, I wasn't sneaking out of my parents' house in the middle of the night. Kids today, they're not afraid of their parents. Is that what's at the root of this absolutely awful story in Toronto from yesterday? Eight teenagers, all of them female. Not that that matters, but it's especially unusual to see females involved in especially horrendous crimes. Not unheard of, but certainly unusual. Eight teens, each of them female, now charged with second-degree murder. Three of them, 13 years old. Three of them, 14 years old. The other two, 16. In every single case here, we're talking about minors. In the eyes of the law, people who will be tried under the Young Offenders Act. I didn't dare sneak out of my parents' house when I was 13, 14, like I said, even 24 years old. I was 24. I had moved back into my parents' house out of necessity. My two brothers were in university. I wasn't allowed to have girlfriends in. That was just the rule. Look, I knew the occasional kid in high school, you know, was out later than I was certainly allowed to be. The minute the streetlights came on, you had to be home. That was the rule. I had no reason to live in fear of my parents. Neither of my parents ever hit me, laid a hand on me, or even so much as yelled at me. There was just a respect. These are my parents. This is their house. They said I cannot go out tonight. I can hate that all I want, and I did. But I respected it. They were the parents. How in the hell does a 13-year-old, a 14-year-old, a 16-year-old get out of the house in the middle of the night? If I even so much as stepped out of my bed and went to the washroom, my parents knew, and we lived in a very big house. It's not like we were right on top of each other. What has happened? Yeah, I know we can't discipline children the same way. Children know the you know what they can get away with, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Is that real? Is it really just that simple? I cannot believe for the life of me that there are eight teenagers whose parents have just thrown their arms up in the air and said, they're going out tonight. Nothing I can do about it. And just turned a blind eye? I mean, are we really there? I mean, I'm not a parent. I'm 53. I do not have children. Never have, never will. Breaks my heart. I wish to hell I had of. That's neither here nor there. I just say that so that you're aware that I don't have, you know, that that relation. I just it's not my world. So I need to defer to you if you are parents. Look, I'm getting a little taste of it. My 19-year-old niece is living with us and going to university. She doesn't ever want to go anywhere. She's just a homebody. But there's no rule here saying she can't. She's 19. 19, let's face it. 19 and being away from home and going to university, that's a whole other kettle of fish. When I was in college, I lived in the basement of a family's home. I rented it along with a roommate, and I had a project to do one night. It was a two-person radio show. The on-air music announcer needed to interact with the broadcast journalism student who was doing the news component. Well, there was, I think, two studios at the college. And I thought, why book ourselves into a studio? I've got all the gear at home. Let's just do it at my place. And we did. And it got late. She crashed in my bed. I crashed on the couch. The family I was living with lost their minds. Called my mommy. Who, despite the rules that were in place when I was 24 and having moved back in, no girls in the house, defended me. He's 19. He pays rent there. I would be more surprised if he didn't have a girl over. Now, there was nothing going on there. But mom defended me. That's a very different situation at university. You're supposed to go out and party a little bit and live a little bit of life. 13? The bigger question here is, maybe it's not a bigger question. It's another question. Are you telling me that a 13-year-old, let's put aside the 14 and the 16-year-olds for now. You're telling me that there are 13-year-olds who do not understand the difference between what is right and what is wrong? If that is true, that a 13-year-old does not know what is right and what is wrong, then that responsibility falls squarely, 100%, on the shoulders of the parent and or parents. You know at 13 what is right and what is wrong. In fact, you know it so well, you can exploit it. That's the game you play at 13 years old. If you really believe that a 16-year-old is not really aware of the consequences for their action, then you have to believe that a 16-year-old should not be given a driver's license and given the responsibility of looking after a car. If you don't know what the consequences to your speeding, to your texting and driving, to your drinking and driving, etc., etc., are, then you should not be given a license. Agreed? 613-604-6464 if you want to chime on in, or hit the video link at itsyourcall.ca. So, at what age, then, should a young person be actually treated as an adult? I think, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think, based on all the comments I have seen on this story, whether it's been on one of the local radio station sites or a national newspaper site or TV, it all seems to come back to the same thing. We need to redefine our Young Offenders Act in this country. Okay, so if we are in agreement, and maybe you don't agree on that, feel free to let me know. At what age should a young person be treated as an adult in the eyes of the law? I'm sorry, 18? You've been an adult for a long time at 18. not an adult adult, but a grown up, a mature enough, responsible citizen in this country. If you can drive at 16, as far as I'm concerned, that's an adult responsibility. And I'd love your opinion on that. Again, 613-604-6464. You can text as well. So here we are. Eight teens now charged with second-degree murder. Three of them 13, three of them 14, two of them 16. A 59-year-old man is dead. The story, as I've been able to piece it together, and I went for the latest updates about 30 minutes ago. So these girls, the police have now confirmed, these girls, these young ladies, they met online. It's unknown if they knew each other previous to this, but somehow they met online and decided, let's all go downtown Toronto and meet like around midnight. Again, how is a 13-year-old able to do this? No way in hell at 13 would I have been out of the house of my parents, A, not know about it, B, not find me and get me back in the damn house, and I would have been scared out of my mind at having been caught. That was the big fear. I'm going to get caught. Okay. And then what? I got caught. I didn't have internet to be taken away. I didn't have iPads that could get confiscated. Worst that could happen, my TV privileges would be taken away. Or I'd have to pick up an extra chore. I mean, there was really not any severe consequence, but there was just this knowledge and this respect that I've crossed a line. I'm in trouble here. So at 12:15 a.m., Sunday morning, so Saturday into Sunday, near Union Station, it's a pretty busy part of downtown Toronto. I guess these eight young ladies who've met up after some social media thing brought them together, and they find a woman outside a homeless shelter. Woman has a bottle. Something happens. Now they're trying to take the bottle away from her. There's pushing, there's shoving, yelling, screaming, whatever else goes on. This man steps in to put an end to it. And suddenly there's blood everywhere. He's punched. He's beaten. Sounds like he was stabbed. Which means somebody snuck out of the house, not just for the sake of sneaking out of the house, but let's just bring a knife with me just in case. You ever bring a knife with you just in case? Look, I know some have. I've never felt the need. But as we're finding out, this, and they're calling it a swarming, was preceded by an earlier incident that night involving these same girls. Police aren't saying exactly what happened, but they are saying it was criminal activity. So here you got a bunch of 13, 14, and 16-year-olds running loose in the city, armed. Police are already aware that they've been involved in some sort of criminal activity. Now they find themselves outside a homeless shelter trying to steal a liquor bottle from a woman. This man, thinking he's doing the right thing, steps in, tries to put a stop to it, loses his life. Now, they're calling this incident swarming. Typically, the definition of swarming, as the police have described it, involves selecting a target to victimize. So was the man who ultimately, and we don't know what his name is. His parents have not been notified yet. I guess they're elderly and still not aware. They can't track him down. Was he the target that they wanted to victimize, or did they target this particular woman who had the bottle? Or was the target just anybody they could find? So that's, I mean, there's a lot of questions here. There's a lot of variables, but okay, let's piece this together. I'm 13, I'm 14, I'm 16, I'm goofing off on whatever social media site, and we decide I'm bored. Let's just go out. Mom and dad aren't going to stop me. What are they going to do? Ha ha. I'll meet you down at Union Station around midnight. I'm going to bring my knife. Let's go find someone to steal their booze. And you're telling me that not one of those people understands that that's wrong? Holy crap. Holy crap. If that's true, come on. They absolutely know that that's wrong. I knew that was wrong by the time I was 6 or 7 years old. Killing someone? Geez, that's like first day of church. And I'm not saying, I'm not even claiming that these people are religious in any sense or going to church. But, I mean, like, you know. You know that, like, beating somebody up, punching your little brother, little sister, big brother, big sister, it's wrong. Hitting your parent is wrong. And you know inherently that, you know, there are things that are much more violent beyond hitting. Stabbing would certainly be among those things that you inherently, I would think, know. Certainly by the time you're 13. Definitely by the time you're 14, and absolutely by the time you're 16. So second-degree murder is the charge. That means wasn't intended, wasn't planned. Sorry. Maybe I didn't plan this specific person's death, but I certainly planned to go out there and cause chaos and bring a knife. So the conversation now from Elias. Hello, Elias. Welcome to the show, by the way. And Liz, welcome to you too. Chrissy, Chris, appreciate you being here. Post your comments on social media. Wherever you would ordinarily post them, they will pop up here on the screen. It'syourcall.ca has your links. So, okay, second-degree murder sentences under the Young Offenders Act. By the way, if you're 13 years old, by the time this is all said and done, and let's say they get the maximum sentence, they'll be college age. They'll receive a high school education in prison. This won't count against their adult record. And they'll be college age. College aged. Okay, so if you're an adult, so if you're over 18 and you are charged and convicted of second-degree murder, imprisonment for life. That's the sentence. Jail for life. It is up to the judge's discretion to determine whether you will be eligible for parole or not. The judge, however, is not able to make that determination if you have a prior conviction for murder or no parole for 10 years. So if you have a prior conviction for murder, this is what kills me. If you've been convicted of murder, that's the end. That's what I believed growing up. If you murder somebody, you're done. You'll never see the light of day. No, and we know this, of course, now. No, if you murder somebody, yeah, it's your first time, so we'll give you a little grace. The judge, if they feel inclined, can give you some parole. Let you out early. Oh, no, wait. Now, if you've killed somebody before, and now you've killed somebody again, well, okay. Now we're really going to get serious. Now there's no parole for you for 25 years. I mean, so that's the adult sentence. Under the Young Offenders Act, so if you're a youth, okay, a youth sentence. This is not a youth tried as an adult, a youth sentence. So 7 years for murder, second degree murder, 7 years, maximum sentence. That's 4 years in continuous custody. And then placement under conditional supervision to be served in the community. Well, that'll teach them. And in some cases, you know what? It probably does. Now, if you are a young offender who is then tried as an adult, you could be facing jail for life and the same parole conditions that would apply to an adult sentence. But a minimum, 7 years in jail. I would like to think that even the 13-year-olds will be tried as adults. What about the parents? I'm no legal expert, but I do believe that the parents are now part of this. They can be charged. Like, but they couldn't do anything. They obviously didn't feel like they had enough power to be able to stop their daughter from heading down to Union Station at midnight, hanging out with a bunch of people they don't know, they met online, stealing liquor bottles and creating other criminal events throughout the city. They know. At 13 years old, they know. 100%. And, in my opinion, should 100% be tried as adults. Every last one of them. Here are some of your comments. Again, the number here, 613-604-6464. Tommy in Saskatchewan. Merry Christmas to you. He says, this story is sickening. Some people are just pure evil. Sad. Very sad. They absolutely are, Tommy. They absolutely are. So we're going to what? Put them through our judicial system and then take a chance in 7 years that now the evil has been scared out of them. I don't like the chances of that. Peter says people in the convoy get stiffer charges and they didn't murder people. Yep. He adds, boys, girls, even older, under 30, are doing similar things in our society. Throw the damn book at them. Trouble is, the laws don't have any teeth. Even if charged fully, they will repeat again. Laws are crap in Canada. Peter, just look at the new gun laws they want to put in place. Like, that's not going after the problem. The threat of real, actual, hard time may be... that's worth considering. Criminals aren't going to Cabela's and buying a firearm. You know it and I know it. So why are we going after the people who go through all the gun lessons, etc., certification, background checks to buy a rifle? Why are we trying to restrict that more? Glenn says, Young Offenders Act is a farce. They need to be identified and treated in adult court, not coddled. I'm with you. I'm all for protecting the names of young offenders for things like, well, not murder. Once you cross that line, I want to know everything about this person. I don't even care what the circumstances are. I can accept that there may be circumstances that a judge may need to protect other people involved and withhold names. But no, in the case of murder, no, here's the accused. Here's who they are. Name, picture, everything. And yeah, I feel awful for the immediate family, who, of course, are then subjected to media and public backlash. Maybe the threat of that is enough to keep some of these people a little more on the side of, oh, yeah, I know that's not right. I best not do that. Cindy seems to agree. Publish names. Embarrassment works and keeps all in check. Elias, boys or girls, they need to be put in prison for life. Liz says, was it a knife or did they use the bottle? Break it and use it as a weapon. Liz, I'm assuming a knife. I am assuming a knife. You're right. It could very well be the bottle. We don't have that information, and I may have jumped to a bit of a conclusion there. Either way, something was used. Obviously, there was some sort of intent to head down and cause harm. That's what second-degree murder means. It means we can't prove that you were after that person, but certainly there was intent to kill. That's what leads me to believe that they went armed with something. Chrissy's on Twitch. Absolutely senseless. She says the violence makes my stomach hurt. Damn right, charge them. Well, they've been charged, Chrissy, but under the Young Offenders Act, because, you know, at 16, they don't know that killing someone and taking a life is wrong. Oh, they can drive a car tomorrow. But, oh, yeah, we kind of forgot to teach them that. Come on. Chris says, I couldn't have gone out. Living in rural Quebec with no neighbors within a kilometer made that impossible. But I wouldn't have. My parents weren't disciplinarians, but I knew right from wrong. Chris, that's just it. My parents never struck me, never even made a threat to strike me or injure me or even raise their voices at me. But they were my parents, and I respected that. And that's where I kind of started this conversation today. What the hell happened? How have we lost that respect for authority? Our parents, to begin with, teachers, principals, police officers, anybody in a uniform with anybody in a position of authority, they're laughed at and mocked and ridiculed by people today. These, I know my rights, you can't arrest me. I mean, how many times have we seen footage of somebody in Canada being arrested and asserting their constitutional rights and quoting this amendment and that amendment? These are American things. You know diddly squat. You don't have a clue what you're talking about. But I know my rights. Sounds like you do. If you're in the States, with an American citizenship, by the way. Because also, while we're here educating you, if you're a foreigner in the States, you're not afforded those same rights. Right? Yeah. Go to Russia and see how you do, saying, I got rights. Okay, sure. What would everyone's opinions be if they were boys, young men? Any different? I don't think so. I'm not seeing anybody suggesting, Chris, or Glenn, that we need to go easy on these alleged criminals because of their gender. I'm not seeing anybody even suggest that. I think it's more shocking because of the fact that this involves young women. And typically we don't see that. The show again is called It's Your Call. It's brought to you by McCarthy Automotive. From brakes to exhaust to fleet vehicles to tires to even something as simple as an oil change. McCarthy Automotive, the only people I trust with either of my vehicles. They also, by the way, did the safety inspection on my RV. Yeah, the garage is big enough for that. All right. 1150 Heron Road, McCarthyAutomotive.ca. You are going to love good old-fashioned family-owned service. McCarthy Automotive, 1150 Heron Road, McCarthyAutomotive.ca. Ann says, I think that three of them were known to the police. I heard that as well. Disagree on sharing the names of the accused. Share once convicted. Okay. We'll agree to disagree on that, Chris. I think if you're charged with murder in any form, that's a pretty serious charge. And I think we as a society are open enough to understanding that if found not guilty, and yes, I understand, innocent until proven guilty, But if it's determined that you are, in fact, not guilty, you are owed every apology out there. And I think we are a mature enough society that we can actually afford that to people. Maybe going out on a bit. Maybe going out on a bit of a limb there. People bend over backwards to buy or own a gun. If they want restricted firearm, then there's so much regulation, the daily automated and daily automated checks on them. And good to see you here. They are not being parented in any way, clearly. Drugs or alcohol probably involved with parents. If you're drunk or stoned, your kids can do whatever they want. I've seen it. There needs to be something between reform school and prison for such young people who commit such serious crimes, but a stern talking to is not enough. Such extremely antisocial behavior in young people, particularly this young, needs to be dealt with properly and immediately. Look, I don't know if drugs are a situation there. I think that's a generalization, and I would hate to do that to someone in, but I hear you. I mean... If your kid is sneaking out of the house, I mean, do we not have services that can be in there to try and fix that situation or remove a child from a situation where there's drugs in the home? And look, I know our resources are limited, but my goodness. Put them in jail for 10 years, says Donald. You want a gun? You can get them any night down in the market. No, I know how easy it is to get a gun. Believe me, I know how easy it is to get. People don't realize how easy it is to get a gun. You want a gun? Just, if you know the right people, you'll have one by tomorrow. But we're not talking about guns in this case. We're talking about a group of teenagers who met online, apparently. Some may have known each other, others may not, but they agreed, let's meet downtown and let's cause some shit. And boy, did they ever. Daniel, dads have long and most often been the regulatory figure in the family. Since the 60s, the courts have consistently removed dads and empowered mothers. Barbara Kay, National Post, moms win 90% of the time. When you're 8 and the court gives you the right to choose one parent over the other, it is no surprise that they will take the parent with the least supervision and the most freedom. Most convicts and mass murderers come from single mother homes. The monkeys are running the zoo. That's a very good point. And I thank you for it. Bad to assume, says Peter. I'm sure the parents are total idiots, too. Had no business having kids in the first place. Watch and see. Well, okay. We'll watch and see, Peter. Pierre, human rights is good, but when you murder someone, you lose your rights. Well, yes, they've lost all of their rights. Absolutely. But should they not be losing their rights under the same conditions that you and I would face at our age? I'm sorry. 13 years old, you know that murder is wrong. And I really resent, and it leaves me feeling sick, that the Young Offenders Act is even used as a defense. Well, under the Young Offenders Act, you know, the law views them as too young to understand. No, not with murder. Come on. Like I said, the age of 4, you smack one of your siblings. If your parents are doing their job, if the world around you is doing their job, you learn very quickly, can't do that. And you absolutely understand that murder is more severe than a little, you know, smack to your brother's head. And sometimes your brother deserves it. Remy, great conversation, John. This makes me shake my head in sadness. Some family robbed of someone they love. There is no explanation or acceptation for international murder. For intentional murder. I apologize, Remy. I'm struggling with that one for some reason. Don't know why. Good to hear from you. Yeah, what a Christmas for, the woman who was outside the shelter, the man who's lost his life, both of their families, the families of each of these young girls, and on it goes. This is horrific. With so many moving parts and so many levels. It's absolutely disgusting. Nancy says the kids were robbing a lady of her alcohol and the guy came to tell them to leave her alone and they killed him. Yep. That's exactly what the police are saying happened. Satan's Playmate. Things went down the tube with the Young Offenders Act. Some adults are using teens to do the crime as they only get a slap on the wrist. Yep, we see that too. And last word will go to our texter here at 613-604-6464. The two boys who killed the little Bulger boy served time, then were given new identities upon release. James Patrick Bulger was killed by 2 8-year-olds in England in 1993. We all remember that case. I appreciate your input as always. Let's meet back here again tomorrow. It'll be my last show before the Christmas break, and I do hope you can join me. And if you ever miss an episode or if you want to hear it again, share with your friends, etc., look for It's Your Call with John Milkey. It's available wherever you get your podcast. We got the link for everything as it pertains to the show. You'll find it online, itsyourcall.ca.